Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why X and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I am your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode. Hopefully everyone out there is doing well, living life, avoiding trouble, being good people. That's what we're all about here, right, on Wrestling Nostalgia. Just be good people, man. Be kind to one another. So on this episode, my guest is Misty Dawn. We talk about women's wrestling in the 80s, working for Dick the Bruiser, and so much, much more. It's a really, really great conversation. One of Misty's few podcast appearances she's done. So it was very exciting to have her on as a guest. And I'm truly honored that she agreed to give me the time. So let's just get right to it, okay? And let's take a break. And when we come back, we will have my interview with Misty Dawn.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Filsinger Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit FilsingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, FilsingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams. Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
And welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by Misty Dawn. Misty, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very, very welcome. You know, you're in a kind of a rare category. I think I've only had one female guest on this podcast before you. So, there you go.
I'm honest.
That's right. Hey, so tell us a little about yourself. Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri.
Of course, because you were known as the Kansas City Kid, correct?
That's right.
I guess that makes sense. Did you grow up a pro wrestling fan?
I did. I went to wrestling every Thursday night over in Kansas at the Bob Geigel show.
Yeah,
in fact, that's how my journey began.
Well,
tell
us about that, because Kansas City is not known as a very strong territory. What's it like growing up there and watching that?
Oh, it was amazing with Harley Race and the Missing Link and Dusty Rhodes. And there was always a packed house in Kansas.
So, okay, so tell us then, you said that's how your journey began. Tell us, what do you mean by that?
Okay, well, it was my birthday, and I had purchased ringside seats. So I was sitting there, and I was all dolled up in a new outfit, just got my beer, sat down, and the women started wrestling.
Okay.
And the one lady threw another lady out of the ring, landed on me, spilt my beer. Oh, I was so mad.
I bet.
So I joined in, and that was a big no-no. So I had some Kansas cops take me and put me against the wall. Mr. Geigel came out and said, hey, let go. I want to talk to her. And he asked me if I wanted to wrestle, and so that's how it began.
Really? So, man, that's a wild story. So,
yeah.
Okay, so you kind of got into it because they land up in your lap and it spilled your beer. But because of that, Bob Geigel asked you if you wanted to compete. Because, I mean, what did he say? What did he say? Just the fact that you're feistiness, or what was it?
Yeah, he said, I like your gumption. He said, I like your style. Do you want to you want to wrestle? And I was like, yeah, but I don't know how. And that's how I met Wildman.
That's correct. Okay, so, all right, so we're talking about the Polynesian Wildman.
Polynesian Wildman.
Yeah, so okay, so he was wrestling in Kansas City at that time?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, tell me a little, because right, not a lot is known about the Polynesian Wildman. So was that what he was wrestling as there in Kansas City?
Yeah, he always wrestled as the Polynesian Wildman.
Okay.
Well, that's not true. Sometimes he'd be one, you know, the Wild Samoan.
Right, yeah, right. So
he was 6'3", 250 pounds. He had 22-inch biceps. He was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And him and Bruiser, you know, they wrestled a lot. So we were kind of like a package deal. Where Wildman went, I went.
Yeah, so see, that's the thing. Not a lot of people outside the Midwest know about the Polynesian Wildman. But you know, right? I mean, he wrestled on Bruiser shows, wrestled in Bruiser Bedlam. And those of us who grew up in that area knew who he, you know, knew about him. But yeah, he was a talented guy. So the Wildman did, I'm assuming then the Wildman trained you.
Pretty much, yeah. Him and a lot of the guys really helped train me. And a lot of on-the-job training.
Of course.
A lot of that. My very first match with Judy Starfire was in front of a sold-out crowd. I didn't know a single thing. And they had to, like, push me out of the dressing room. And when they lowered that big mic down from the ceiling, you know, for the ref to give us our instructions, I just knew the whole arena could hear my heartbeat. But that match was crazy, and that was my very first match.
Yeah. Okay, so was that in Kansas City, or was that up for Bruiser?
That was in Detroit for Bruiser, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so you made your debut for Bruiser in Detroit against Judy Starfire, right?
Yep.
Who's a name, I mean, Judy, you wrestled her quite a bit. And
awesome.
Yeah, and you were never ready. So... man, so what a wild story. I didn't even know that's how you got started. I was going to, you know, I had all that. How did you get started and blah, blah, blah. How did you meet the public? And I did not expect that answer.
I'm sorry. It's crazy.
No. That is even better than I expected. Because,
yeah.
Because you hear all these stories about guys, right, that do that stuff and then go in the back and get their asses kicked. And,
right.
And you did it and they're like, hey, do you want to wrestle?
He was, yeah, I like your style. He's like, do you want to wrestle? And I was like, sure, but I don't know how.
That is nuts.
I mean,
we talked about Polynesian Mama, right? Your name synonymous with him, but also another name that you're very close to is Shotgun Willie, which a lot of guys may not know. So I don't want to go too far into this about talking about Shotgun Willie. Tell us a little bit about Shotgun Willie.
Shotgun Willie was a curly version of Mike Hayes, Michael Hayes.
Yeah.
He had the biker jacket and the biker pants and long, kind of curly blonde hair, big blondish brown beard. Yeah, he was a lot of fun. They were all a lot of fun. But yeah, Shotgun Willie, he was a character of his own. Rest in peace.
Yeah. Okay, so how did you come up? How did the name Misty Dawn come up then? Because obviously your name's right, Dawn, you know, Dawn Prince, right? So I'm sure that's where the Dawn came from. How did you come up with the Misty part?
Well, it was a lot better than the name that Bruiser wanted to give me.
Oh, man. Okay, I got to hear that. What is the name that Bruiser wanted to give you?
Melons Dawn.
What is it?
Melons Dawn.
Melons like, Dawn?
Cantaloupe, watermelon, melons, Dawn.
Yeah, but I don't think he's thinking cantaloupes probably, right?
I don't know what he was thinking, but I was no, come on.
Lord have mercy. Oh.
Well, you know, it was back in the 80s. It was a different time.
I know, but.
Misty came from playing Misty for me from Clint Eastwood movie.
Okay, gotcha. So, man, these stories are just blowing my mind. So Bruiser wanted Melon's Dawn. How did you convince him to go with Misty Dawn? How did that happen?
Bruiser, I'm not doing that. No.
Okay.
No.
Well, hats off to you for standing your ground because, Lord. Woo!
Bruiser was always a gentleman to me, always.
No. I'm not saying that. But I'm just, I was thinking was, if I had to introduce this podcast and say my guest Melon's Dawn, I don't know that it would have been the same.
Yeah, no, this is just so not happening.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, right? I grew up in the 80s. I knew it's a different time. I know there's a different mindset. I mean, I do understand that. I can take things in context, but that's I'm glad that didn't happen for your sake and mine now. I think Misty Dawn, way to go. And at times, you were just known as Miss Misty, right? I mean, that just kind of a little spinoff of Misty Dawn, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. Would just call me Misty.
Okay, all right. So, and the thing is, Bruiser, you know, he used quite a few female wrestlers over the years, right? It was different then, right? Women were an attraction. Right, you only had one women's match, you know, every so often, and but Bruiser was known, you know, for regularly having women's matches. He used a lot of women wrestlers over the years. I want to shoot you some names that you may or may not have worked with. I don't know. Some of these I think you have. Some of the I hope you've worked with them all, and you can give us. But I just want you to give us a little story or tell us a little about your experience with them. Let's start with Judy Starfire, right? We talked about that. Mm-hmm. You wrestled her quite a bit.
I did.
You're kind of known. That's kind of a rivalry. You off podcast, you told me a story about Judy Starfire and a bulldog. Tell me that story here on air.
All right. So I had gone to Chicago. We had gone, Wildman and I, and we'd gone for a match in St. Regis High School. In Chicago.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty sold out crowd for this auditorium. And so I got in, we locked up, we had a really great match. And next thing I know, she grabs me and bulldogs me and I hit the ring. And I'm telling you, I could have saw stars. I didn't move. I thought, oh my gosh. So then she rolled me over and pinned me and pushed me out of the ring. And as I'm standing there trying to gather my wits, my nose is just bleeding really bad. And there was this old lady, an elderly gentleman and couple, whatever.
Yeah.
And she looked at him and she goes, I told you that was fake blood. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, no, it's not. And so the cop came up and I'm like, take me to my dressing room. I couldn't even find my way back to the dressing room. I'm laying there. I got ice on my nose, and Bruiser comes in, and he says, "Welcome to wrestling, Misty."
Well, obviously, right, when you kind of break your nose or whatever, your vision goes. And that was the thing. Right, that was the thing in the 80s. How many people said that, right? Oh, it's blood capsules. It's good. Come on. Lord have mercy.
I had black eyes that lasted clear down my cheeks for like 4 to 6 weeks. Farmer Pete wanted to put leeches on him to draw the blood out. I said, no. I earned it.
I was going to ask you about that, the Farmer Pete follow-up story about the leeches. I've chatted with Farmer Pete so much online. He is, he's such a funny guy. He's such a character. I plan to have him on the show at some point, though, because he's fun. You and Judy wrestled quite a bit. And Judy's someone I'm hoping I can track down. I hope she's still, I don't know much, no one knows much about her. And I'm trying to track her.
Living in Chicago.
Yeah, so I'm trying to track her down. So, all right, let's move on. What about Miss Bundy Love? Did you ever work Miss Bundy Love?
No, I did not.
No, was she around at all while you were there?
No, she wasn't.
No, she was. So she was a little before you guys, right? Obviously, she managed Paul Christie and worked some, prior in the WWA prior to you guys. All right, what about Alice Cooper?
No.
No. Okay. No. Another one I think that predates you a little bit. No, Alice is another. No, that's okay. Alice, I'm just trying to figure out what overlaps where here. So, but here's one I know you worked, the Jungle Princess. Tell me about her.
Oh, my goodness. She is a true do not judge a book by its cover. So, I wrestled.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that I underestimated her little self.
Okay.
We had a match here in Bishop Lures where I live, and she got me in the turnbuckles and was just kneeing the daylights out of me and then took and gave me a snapmare, and the match was all over. My hair is hanging from the ring, And we go, Wild Man and I go out and get something to eat, and we go home, and I take my wrestling, gear that I wear off, and I couldn't breathe. And so I had to go to the emergency room, and she had damaged my gallbladder.
Oh, no.
And I had to have emergency gallbladder surgery, and I was in the hospital for like 2 weeks. Oh, like, man. Dang. I never underestimated her again. She was she's tough. She's tough. She could pick me up and body slam me. We fought all over the place. 6 weeks after I had gallbladder surgery, I fought her all over the arena.
And I've asked several people. No one knows much about Jungle Princess. Who she is, who trained her, or where, whatever. She's a lot of people haven't even heard of her. So I don't know much about her. But that's that is the downside so much to women's wrestling. In the past, there's so many of them. It's like it's not as documented as men's, and that's a shame. Because there's so many of them, it's like you don't know who they are. They don't get their flowers for paving that road. And
We paid our dues that way.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we're going to get there. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But we'll get there. And another name, I was flipping through cards, and I saw that you wrestled someone named Baby Jane.
Yes.
Who is Baby Jane? What is that?
She was Prince Mohammed's girlfriend.
Okay, all right. Oh, man.
yeah, that's who she was.
So, I'm guessing she wasn't super properly trained.
Not at all.
Hmm.
Not at all.
Yeah. So how much of that did you experience in your time where you would show up for a show and they would throw someone in there with you who, just because she was a female in there, they thought you could have a match with her even though she hadn't received any training?
Quite a few. Shotgun, I wrestled Shotgun Willie's girlfriend quite a few times, too. And I just don't take any chances. You're not going to hurt me. So they,
yeah.
I just in and did what I had to do and finished the match, and boom, that was that. Whatever, you know, I didn't care. I looked good, did my job, got paid, I went home.
Yeah, and again, I mean, again, that's a sign of the time, right? Because, you know,
right.
you hear about untrained male wrestlers that slip in, blah, 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 right? But for the most part, they're not. No one's going to get in there and take a chance. The male wrestler is going to get in there and take a
right.
chance with someone who's super untrained and whatever else. But, you know, but a female wrestler, let's just put two women in there. Who cares? They're just an attraction.
Right.
That's what, it, you know. And,
right. But I dominated the entire match. I'm just dominate.
Sure. I wouldn't imagine you want to take a lot of bumps for for someone who's.
You didn't get a chance to do a whole lot of anything. But
there you go. That's right. That's what you got to do, right? You got to protect yourself.
Right.
Oh, man.
I wrestled a woman named Blonde Bombshell. She was huge.
Yeah.
Yep, she was huge.
That's such a generic name, Blonde Bombshell.
Blonde Bombshell, yeah. Say that when you're drunk. So Bruiser, Wildman had gone to Florida with Shotgun Willie.
Okay.
And Bruiser had sent me to Chicago.
Okay.
And I drove there all by myself because couldn't find anybody else to go with me. I get there, I get changed, I make my way up to the ring, and there's this biggest woman I've ever seen in my entire life. Now, this was for all, oh my goodness, World of, I can't think of it right now, but they had boxers in your, why World of Sports? Goodness.
Oh, okay, okay.
And we had boxers in our corner.
Okay. Okay.
So I get up there and I'm like freaking out. And so he looked at this rather large man sitting on the chair and he said, "Take his chair, hit her with it, gets disqualified." I'm like, "Sounds like a plan." We locked up. I jumped out. I ran around. I kicked the chair out, got the chair, went in the ring, hit her with it, got disqualified, and went home. Holy cow.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like through the 70s and 80s, right? You had Moolah's girls, right? And this troupe that they traveled around in groups or pairs or whatever and did their matches.
Yep.
But female wrestlers like you who weren't a part of that, it's different, right? You didn't have this group or this, you know, or someone you're locked with to travel with here and there and do this. You're just doing what you can. Did you ever cross paths with any of like, some of these Moolah's women and wrestlers that I know maybe has dissipated a little by that time were wet and strong, but were they looked at you oddly because you weren't a part of their thing?
I experienced that when I worked for, I got to wrestle once for GLOW and I wrestled once for POW.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But they both were very nice to me each time, but I just didn't feel like I belonged. I wasn't there long enough, so.
Yeah.
No, you know, when I went to Canada and wrestled some of them girls up there, I didn't care for Canada.
Yeah, so who did you work for? Who did you work for in Canada? Was it, were you working for like George Cannon or something?
George Cannon, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I figured that's the connection with Bruiser and stuff there. Yeah, I
mean,
yeah, that's the thing. Because there's like women's wrestling is really weird, right? Because like guys would go from, you know, territory to territory, right? They'd go somewhere, stay 6 months, move on. But for women were like constantly, it was like they had to like move a lot more. You couldn't have a home base, right? Because it was more difficult because you weren't going to work every show.
No.
So it was a completely different beast. And, but, you know, like I said, they were, you guys were attractions at the time, right? They were, you would just, like, even in ads, right? You'd have the card run down. It's like, oh, and then featuring a girls match, right? And stuff like that.
Right? Women's match.
Yeah. I mean, so a lot of times, not even you, not even calling you by name, it wouldn't matter. So did you ever feel disrespected when that happened? I mean, a little bit, and that, you know, maybe, hey, maybe we could be featured a little more. Maybe we could do a little more if we just had the chance. I'm not saying necessarily from the guys or whatever, but just with the situation in general.
Not really. No.
No.
Because we always managed to make the crowd pop, so we didn't look at it like that. You know, women's wrestling hadn't popped yet. It wasn't as big as it is now. So you were grateful that you were on a card with the wrestlers and the talent that you were on the card with.
Yeah.
So you just went in and you didn't care. For you, it was a main event. So, yeah.
Did you ever encounter any problems from any men in the locker room or from the crowd because of being a female on a show?
No, never. But then again, to be fair, I never left my dressing room. I went in and I stayed till it was time for me to go, you know, into the ring. I wrestled my match, came back, took my shower, and I stayed there till Wild Man came and got me.
Yeah. Well, and obviously we know, right? You traveled a lot with Wild Man, and you talked about you were close to Shotgun and all that stuff. What were some of the other guys that you got close to that were kind of some of the better guys for you to be around during that time in working?
Bobo Brazil. He was Calypso Jim back then.
Sure. Yeah, Bobo Jr.
Yeah, he was like my closest friend. He was the only one I was really allowed to hang out with and I wanted to hang out with. I mean, the other guys were nice to me. Hi, how you doing? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, that was, yep.
Now, wait, hold on. Dark Angel, right? Tell me a little bit. You said he was the only one of the guys you were allowed to hang out with? What do you mean allowed? Tell me about that.
I mean, Wild Man was my partner. Wild Man said he didn't want me talking to the other wrestlers, so only one I was allowed to talk to was Calypso Jim. And Dark
Now, Angel. Why was that? Why was he saying that? I mean, I'm not trying to stir up trouble. I'm just trying to get the mindset.
It's no trouble. He was a total control freak.
Do you mind me asking? And if not, just brush me off. No, were you in a relationship at all with him?
Oh yeah, we were in a 5-year relationship. Yeah.
Okay, I got you. Okay, I'm seeing. All right, I see what you're saying. Okay, I got you. Yeah. I'm not trying to disrespect. I'm just trying to get the context of the situation.
No, you're fine.
Gotcha.
You're fine.
Okay, I gotcha. Jim, it's funny because Calypso, Bo Jr. I mean, he's still doing his thing, and when I wrestled briefly in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, Bo Jr. was my guy. He was my mentor. He was the guy that helped me. He took me to a few places. I mean, still to this day, I'm very, you know, I feel very close to him. He's such a good guy. And that leads me to my next, right? Because you did, like we said, you worked some mixed tag matches, obviously with Polynesian Wild Man. But you did work some with Calypso Jim as well. So, I mean, I guess that makes sense, right? I'm seeing that context now.
Yep. The only woman in Indiana to ever be in a mixed tag match with Calypso Jim against Wild Man and Starfire. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. And so did you enjoy those mixed tags? Because back then, that wasn't a common thing. Like, you see a lot more of that now. But back then, it was different.
I absolutely loved it. I was in a belt match. I loved that. All the guys were around the ring. Yeah. Throw your opponent out, and you get whooped while you're out there, so you don't stay out very long.
Yeah, it's such a – again, I mean, I'm trying to be different, but it's just such – it was such a different thing. I feel for you so much. Being in that scenario, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to disrespect Polynesian Wild Man at all, right? Because I was, great guy, but it's just, you know, to think that you were that controlled. It's just, I'm sorry. That's just, It's just, I'm not, again, I'm not trying to stir up any trouble, but it's.
Oh, no.
I feel for you. That had to be.
We parted ways.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, no. I'm not saying it didn't. Again, I understand the context. It's a different time. I understand how some people are. I'm not trying to insinuate anything. But it's just.
No.
When you look at it with 2025 eyes, it looks peculiar, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And
but back in the 80s, it worked.
Yeah. I'm not trying to knock.
Right. It kept my reputation intact. Sure. I usually stayed to myself. You know, women have no business in a men's dressing room anyway.
Sure. Of course. So, yeah.
I just stayed in my dressing room. Or I'd go out and sell my pictures at the table. I did do that. And all my fans were very respectful.
Yeah. So, and again, in context, at that time, we're not talking about, you don't have women's rosters. You've got whatever. If it's a show, there's two women. That's it, right? At most. There's you and your opponent. So there's it's not like you've got a bunch of other women around you. It's a completely different.
No, there was two. You got to choose.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm getting is what we mentioned earlier, right? Now it's such a different world. It's such a different in wrestling, right? Women are it's more and more they're trying to recognize women's wrestling on the same level, you know, as much as they can, right? It's more and more respect all the time. And it's because of those things that you experienced and lots of women like you. I'm not, you know, there is a lot of women that experienced that at that time. But because you did these things, and I'm not saying you were mistreated or anything like that. I'm just saying it was difficult. It was different. You were plowing a road for these women now, you and all your contemporaries.
Right.
And part of it is, I guess what I'm getting at, I just want to give you your props because the things that you and all your contemporaries did, there wouldn't be women's wrestling as we know it now. And,
right.
You know, when you see, you know, they recognize the women that were in the WWE and blah, blah, blah at that, you know, in the 80s or whatever. But there's lots of women in every territory that were doing the same thing that should be recognized as well. So I just, that's all my point in all this is I want to recognize you, Misty, for what you accomplished and for what you did and how you helped. And you mentioned it a little earlier, but I want to go back to it. Tell me a little bit about working for Dick the Bruiser, because he's such a big personality, right? He's on that mountaintop. You hear Dick the Bruiser and you think, oh, this legend. But you worked for him. You were right there. Tell me about working for him.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fairs. Bruiser liked a lot of fairs. He refereed a match between Judy Starfire and I. And
really?
Yes. He had such colorful language during that match. It was so funny.
tell me about that. What led to him refereeing your match?
It was a special referee match, Dick the Bruiser, because of our ongoing feud.
That's wild, right? I mean, that's great, because that's not something he did a lot back then.
He did.
that's fun, right?
It was very fun. It was so crazy. And it, you know, I'd have her in like a reverse chin hold or a snap mirror, and I had piled her down for the headlock. He would come like by my ear, and he'd be like, "Are you gonna lose, Misty? Don't lose, Misty." Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was in Logansport, where they have the Amish buggies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where we were.
Yeah.
We used to do a lot of outdoor fairs.
Yeah. And I've here recently I've shared, I'm always sharing newspaper clippings, but we're getting to that time of year where that's what I'm sharing is a lot of fair shows. And
yeah,
he took advantage of those county fairs.
Absolutely, he did.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
So many. We didn't, that's what we went to Canada for too, was fair fairs. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so and you met. Go ahead.
He just was like another dad.
Yeah, and you hear that. You hear that a lot, right? But I mean, Bruiser was, you know, he was set in his ways, and some people, right, argue they're, you know, that's good and bad, right? Because he didn't change with the times sometimes, and but you know, he had everybody.
You didn't question him. You didn't question Bruiser. You didn't do that.
What happened if you did?
Oh, he'd get upset. I never did, but I would hear the stories. Bruiser was in the back seat of my. I had a 78 Monte Carlo.
Oh, okay.
And Wild Man was in the front seat, and Bruiser was in the back seat, and he used to like to drink champagne beer. I don't know what that's called. And I'm driving down these back roads. I always got stuck doing the driving with all the guys. It would be me. Well, he was in his back kind of getting tossed around. And he was like, Misty, you know they got deer back here. I'm like, what? He's like, they got deer on these roads. I'm like, okay. He's like, slow down. So funny.
Hey, he's not lying. Indiana, I mean, I grew up in Indiana, and it's, I hit my share of deer. There's a, deer will pop out of anywhere in Indiana, trust me.
I was drinking in scotch's beer.
so he didn't want, so Bruiser was aggravated because you're making him spill his beer.
Yeah.
I can feel that.
You have a point. Over beer.
I feel that. You don't want to waste beer.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, all right. And you mentioned, right, you got to start in the Kansas City area. You got to, you know, you mentioned that you went up and worked for George Cannon in Canada. Did you ever get the opportunity or chance to go anywhere else, to work in the other territories?
I went to Pennsylvania. George the Animal Steel.
Uh-huh.
Did you know, fun fact, that he owned a bunch of limos?
George Steel owned limos?
Oh, yeah. A fleet of limos. Yeah.
Huh.
So he came personally and picked up Wild Man and I and drove us to Pennsylvania so I could wrestle for Pow. I wrestled and we came back. That was such an awesome ride.
Really? Yeah, you always hear about George Steele being a teacher and everything, but no, I didn't. I didn't know the animal owned limos.
Yeah, he did. That was so cool.
Wait a minute. So did he have a driver, or was George driving the limo?
No, he drove. George drove.
So you got driven in a limo driven by George Animal Steel to Pennsylvania.
Yep, absolutely.
That is crazy. That's funny. You always hear, man, you always hear about how George Steel was such a great guy. And
yeah, he was awesome.
That is crazy. Drove you in a limo to Pennsylvania.
Yep.
That's
him
funny.
And Wildman, him and Wildman were friends, and it was so fun. It was really awesome in my life. Yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned you went and worked for Glow one time, right?
Yes.
Did you get to connect with Dave McLean at all, the head of Glow, the guy that founded Glow? No. Okay.
No.
I just had
me. It was an indie, and he made me change my entire look for that match because I couldn't look like Misty Dawn.
Really?
So
did you work under a different name?
I did.
What'd you work under?
Sunshine.
Sunshine?
Sunshine, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So the girls for Glow did my hair. They French braided it all back. I still look like me, but it didn't look like me because I always wrestled with my hair down.
Yeah.
My hair was all back. Yep.
So did you make it on, was that was your match you wrestled? Did it make it on Glow TV? Or do you know?
Yeah,
I mean, did they do anything besides TV tapings?
No. I think it's on my page.
That's wild. So they were doing the tapings in Indiana, so they were using some local women to kind of fill out the card, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Local woman.
Oh, and you wrestled as Sunshine.
Yeah. Well,
that's interesting.
It was fun.
You know, I don't see that, you know, in all your pages out there that you wrestled as Sunshine is an interesting. Okay. But have you watched any modern wrestling at all?
No. I cannot.
I'm with you on that, but I'm guessing though that you're at least kind of aware of the context of modern women's wrestling, how far it's come. There's an all women's, they don't call them pay-per-views anymore. They're premium live events, right? Because they're not pay-per-view. But there's an all women's one, right? And women, you know, again, there's a lot. It's more and more all the time becoming a little more balanced, right? There's more and more women's wrestling on television, on the events, the championships, and everything else. Do you, when you hear that, at least, you're aware. What does that make you feel, knowing the things that you did and how the context of you wrestled in? Did that make you feel a little pride, knowing that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, tell me a little bit about that, because it's hard to put that into context. And again, I know you say, right, everything was, you didn't have any big issues, but still, it's
right.
It was difficult. I'm not saying, you know, I think you're being a little modest. It was difficult. It's not you. What you did was not the same as what the men did.
No,
it's different. You couldn't find work as easily as a male contemporary.
No.
And, I don't want you to be modest about this, because, and I'm not trying to get dirt or anything, but that's the times, right? It was difficult. And so tell me about that with you feeling pride with modern women's wrestling, knowing that, hey, you were an attraction, getting to work every so often, one match on the card at most with women's wrestling. So tell me, when you know, knowing what you did, what you went through, how hard you worked with those things, and you see or know about modern wrestling, tell me about that pride you feel.
Absolutely. You know, we took it from being almost an oddity into acceptable.
Sure.
And then we took it and we had, you know, 15, 30-minute match that you had to come out and grab their attention and make them interested in you enough so they wanted to come back and see you again.
Yeah.
So, you know, we did that, and we made it better and better and better. And these athletes now that are competing, they deserve all the props in the world. They are in a whole different league. They do things we never did. So, you know, they're carrying it forward.
Of course. Mm-hmm. But what they're doing, again, the opportunities they're getting, and I'm not trying to put them down, you know, right. Undermine them, but because of that is because of, like I said, women like you and your contemporaries, you know, unfortunately, it had to be this hard process for women's wrestling to build a little more, a little more, a little more. I mean, we're not going to talk about the dark times of the weird ass bra and panty matches and all that stuff, right? Which is just ridiculous. I mean, you know, it's just, all the things that women's wrestling has gone through to get to where it is,
right.
You know, and it's a process. So when you look back on your career, is there anything you maybe wish you would have been able to do? Anybody you would have thought maybe, you know, like to have wrestled that maybe you didn't get a chance to at your time? I'm not saying regrets, but is there anything that you kind of wish you would have had the opportunity to do or someone to wrestle?
I wish that I would have taken the girls up on GLOW and gone to Japan, but it wasn't in my cards at the time.
So you got invited to go with GLOW to Japan.
I did.
Yeah. So why'd you have to pass? Was it just personal family type things?
It was a wild man thing.
We go. We're circling back to the. Oh, wild man.
I think he was a very good wrestler in his own.
Sure. Yeah.
I think he got more work with me than without me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, again, I've watched my share of Polynesian Wild Man, and I get all the respect in the world, and I don't, I know he's not with us anymore, and I don't want to speak negatively, but man, to pass, to take that opportunity from you, sorry. That's rough. I wish you would have got to. But it is what it is. Well, I mean, what are you gonna do now? I guess.
Right, God had different plans for me, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been nice. It would have been nice for you to get to work in Japan to see Japan, but.
It would have been.
Thanks, Wild Man. Well, And and I know, you told me off air, right? You told me in some messages, but for the listeners, so why'd your career end?
Why did my career end?
Yeah, why'd you end up hanging it up and retiring?
Well, because I got pregnant with my first son.
There you go. That's right. Yeah, like I said, you told me off air, right, that you starting your family, right, with your son and everything. But just for the record on the podcast,
My family. But then I came back out of retirement and wrestled for Memphis Ladies Wrestling in 2005 and met Debbie Rutherford, who was one of the girls that Andre the Giant held up on his arms.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She was tough as Nick.
Yeah, I'm friends with her. And I saw the pictures, and I know you worked with her. I saw those pictures that you work in that. I didn't know she was one of those women in that famous Andre the Giant picture hanging from his arms.
I didn't know
that. That's wild. Because that is a famous picture in wrestling. That's crazy.
Yep. So I worked her in Memphis.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's fun. So you got to come back and do a little more, right? And which is good, right? When you came back and did that, did that enable? I'm not sure the time frame there. Did that enable your children to kind of see you work some?
Yes, my children. My daughter walked me to the ring. All my kids were there. Yeah.
That's cool, right? Because. Your kids would hear about what you did in their past, but for them to actually get to see mom work and to be a part of it, that's special. That's fun.
It was amazing.
That's very good. So I like that. I did not know, and that blows my mind about that picture, because that picture is so famous. That's pretty cool. All right, so let's wrap. I mean, we've gone through it here. Do you ever get any opportunities to do any appearances or signings? I know there's a lot going on in the Midwest. Does anybody ever reach out to you or?
In 2020, Jim invited me down and they recognized me as the predominant leading lady here in Indiana. So they honored me at that show. That was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, right? Bo's the MCIW, right? He runs shows, and I actually, right here behind me. Oh, you can't see. We don't have the video on, but right here behind me, a couple years ago, Bo Jr. inducted me into his Hall of Fame for what I did in independent wrestling and working with him, he's so fun. He's so fun. God, I got so many stories about him. He's
awesome guy. I have lots, but they're not airworthy.
the thing is, he tried to make me break character so many times because I always played this snotty. I was supposed to be a snotty rich kid, right? And and if anybody knows Calypso Jim, Bobo Brazil Jr., everybody knows this dude. Pardon my language, has a fucking amazing chop. He'll cave your chest in.
Yep.
And he tried every time, But he wouldn't just do it. He'd get me in the corner and he'd be like, here it comes, Dave. He taught me. He would taught me beforehand. And yeah. And I remember doing one show. Oh, this is a side story. I'm sorry. I don't mean to stray off track. But we had one show, right? And he came out with his jacket and everything else. And he came over to the ropes and I was jawing at him, you know, right? Because I was the heel. And he leaned over the ropes and he said, Dave. And he was trying to be like, he was yelling at me, right? He's like, pick up my B. And I was like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? And he said, the letter B fell off my jacket. Find it and pick it up. And I was, so I had to walk around the ring and act like I was, and I had to, and I found it. I had to find the letter B that had been ironed on his jacket and pick it up for him. It's
so weird.
I would
have taken it back to him and I would have said, here you go, Big Bird.
I know it. Professional wrestling is such a funny thing. Oh.
Yeah, he was a riot. I had nothing to do but sit and watch them. And they taped Bruiser Bedlam up in this bar in Detroit for many years.
Yeah.
Then they went to Hotel Sofitel.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And he was just, he was so funny.
Yeah.
He
tell you what.
Genuine.
He is such a good man. One of the hottest feuds in Bruiser Bedlam, man. When they cut his dreadlocks, his or braids or whatever. Oh, I'm telling you, people that haven't seen that. I mean, I've got a lot of that stuff up on my YouTube channel. People need to watch that because oof, man, Dr. Jerry Graham Jr. They're about to kill him for cutting Calypso Jim's hair.
Yeah, and, I was gonna say it's Dr. Jerry Graham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, friend of mine. Jerry's a great guy. He's a friend of mine. But so good.
I didn't really get to talk to a lot of them, but
yeah,
from all my interactions I have with the man, he's a nice man.
Yeah. So, I hope a lot of people, I wish people would get you out there more, do some signings and some things and whatever else. Right. And, I mean, cause there's a lot of opportunities nowadays, right? For t-shirts I think we need some Misty Dawn stuff. I mean, I think the world needs a little of that. And, you know, a little exposure. So, but no, it's like I said, it has been so much fun talking to you. And I want to express. I know, man, you undersell it so much. But for women like you and your contemporaries, and the things you did that enabled the women of today to do what they do. And again. Everybody talks about, you know, the WWE girls and whatever, and those people, but there was a lot of women all over the country working the territories, such as yourself, that did these things and looking for work and working, you know, one show here or there, and whatever, spending time alone in your dressing rooms because there just wasn't women there. I mean, that's right. That's what it was. I mean, there was. Like I said, usually, you know, at most two of you to a lot of shows. And so for all that, on behalf of those who enjoy women's wrestling today, I just want to thank you because it's important. And I just want to make sure you get your respect for that. But it's, like I said, it's been fun talking to you. I'm sure you've got a lot more stories you could tell. You know, maybe we'll have you on again later. I hope maybe some people out there, especially in the Midwest, that need some, maybe they can get Misty Dawn out there at their shows to sign some autographs and stuff. I don't know where, I mean, again, I say that, I don't know where you're located now, though. You may not even be in the Midwest anymore.
I'm in the great state of Indiana, Northern Indiana.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so you are. Yeah, so there you go. Well, there you go. If you're in Indiana and you want to bring, you know, Misty Dawn, you know, reach out to her, make her an offer. The price is right. I'm sure she'd come.
Absolutely. Hit me up.
Yeah, that's right. Have her out there. Do a signing.
My pleasure.
So, Misty, it's been fun talking to you. I know we've been, you know, trying to get you on for a while. It's just so much fun getting to hear you talk about, you know, because again, like Dick the Bruiser and the WWA, you know, they semi-regularly, for the most part, featured women's wrestling, even on TV. there would be women's matches, which was not a common thing for the territories at that time. I mean, Bruiser would put, you know, women's matches on TV. So, yeah, so it's it was fun talking to you, hearing you tell your stories and everything else. Yeah. So, yeah, of course. So stay in touch, and, you know, maybe we'll do a little something else down the road.
Hey, you bums, we have to take a quick break.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here, curator of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, inviting you guys to listen to many of the programs here as part of the WrestleCopia brand, including, but not limited to, the Wrestling Memory Grenade, currently covering the 1988 and the WWF Project. You can also listen to the Regional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk the territories, whether it's Jamie Ward with Georgia 81, Roman Gomez with the UWF in 1986, or Gene Jackson covering Memphis in 85. Three projects going on right now over there at Regional Wrestling. You can also listen to The Wrestling Stoop with the legend himself, Bob Roop. Bob goes back in time each and every week, covering not just his career, but countless stories and interactions with hundreds of wrestling names spanning his two decades in the business. But that's not all. You can also check out the Puro Wrestling Academy with the professor of Puro Resu, Mr. Dan Ginnity. Dan and I go back in time and cover the history of Japanese professional wrestling in the English language. And you can listen to all of those shows and more, all part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, located over at WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com, and anywhere your podcast streaming needs are met, from Apple to Spotify, Pocket Cast, and beyond. And while you're at it, why not subscribe to our social media guys for all the latest goings on here at the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. Plus, I'm constantly adding old school video clips and pictures from throughout wrestling history. You can follow us over on X, formerly Twitter, at Wrestling Grenade. That's at R-A-S-S-L-I-N Grenade. Also, follow and like me, Facebook.com/Wrestling Grenade. And why not subscribe to YouTube.com/Wrestling Grenade. So if you're looking to support that next up-and-coming podcast brand, please consider making it WrestleCopia.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right, and thank you to Misty Dawn for coming on and doing that interview and opening up. You know, we went some places. Everybody knows I'm not afraid to ask the questions. No one has to answer them. But I try to be respectful. I try to, you know, be fair. And, you know, and Misty went right with it. She was not afraid to share and talk. And hopefully she enjoyed her time here on the show. And hopefully we can have her back again in the future to talk a little further. Guys, make sure you follow me on social media. I'm on all the podcast platforms. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or The Dave Dynasty, all one word, and you will find me there. Also, go check out all the other WrestleCopia Network podcasts. You can find them at WrestleCopia.com, or you can look them up by name on your favorite podcast platform. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Go to classicwrestling.net to sign up for your account now and download the app on all of your smart devices. The app is called Ultimate Classic Wrestling. It's a great bargain. You get tons of wrestling content for just a low monthly cost. I'm telling you guys, you're going to love it. So go check them out. Go and start at classicwrestling.net and go from there. Watch social media in the coming days because I will announce my next guest for the next episode, but just rest assured, I feel that whatever it is, whoever it is, whatever we discuss, you'll enjoy it, right? I mean, I try to have very conversational, fun interviews, and you know what? Somebody seems to dig it. I recently spoke how I had a naysayer, if you want to call him that, comment, or I can't remember how they responded, but saying that they thought I laughed too much in my interviews, and I'm like, kiss my ass, you know, I mean, if my worst crime is that I'm enjoying my conversations with these talents, and I'm having a good time with it,
oh, screw you. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. You know, I don't want to get all negative and whatever else, but come on, that, what a weird thing. But when I posted, I do appreciate everybody gave me so much positive feedback and support. I wasn't troubled by it. I wasn't like, you know, bantering whether I wanted to continue. It wasn't that at all, but I do appreciate everybody and your support and your positive reinforcement that you gave me. It was nice. I did enjoy it. So thank you for that. But anyway, follow me on social media. My next guest announcement will be coming in the next few days. And until that episode, guys, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.
Wrestling Nostalgia is copyright Dave Dynasty. Bruiser voice done by John Lawson.